My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. We hope you'll stay tuned. Well, I am very, very glad to have our guests on the line. Kilu Niasha, who's joining us from out here on the West Coast from San Francisco, and Don Shellard, who is way back east, very, very late. Don, Kilu, thank you both for being with us on the program.
So we're shoulder to shoulder with SFLR in terms of fighting the idea that our stations can be bumped by bigger stations.
I think we can all of us agree on one. We can agree on one thing at this point, that the primary purposes of the FCC and the government regulation is to protect the interests of the providers and not protect the interests of the public. I think we probably all agree on that at this point.
Well, I think that's been the way it's been for a while.
Now,
it could be changed.
Now, let's take a situation here. Let's just say I go out and buy a couple thousand dollars worth of transmitting equipment. It's not very expensive. Hook up a microphone, set up a little operation in my garage, and start blasting out to 4 or 5 miles around my neighborhood.
You can do it for under $1,000.
Yeah, what's going to happen to me? How long would I last? Let's just say I took a frequency that wasn't really interfering with anybody. How long could I last, and what would happen?
I think that would depend on where you are, what the judicial system is like, what judges are sitting on the case, you know what I mean? It just depends on a lot of factors because, you know, as I said, you know, we're still on the air. We've been on the air since February, and we've been threatened, but we're still on the air. And, San Francisco Liberation Radio was on the air for 3 or 4 years prior to the injunction that was issued last year, and so was Free Radio Berkeley lasted about 5 years. So I think it depends on the political climate as well as the individual members of the judicial system.
I would also imagine it would matter to a great degree the programming that was being broadcast. Certainly broadcasting the local football game isn't going to be quite as threatening as some of the things that San Francisco Liberation Radio was doing, broadcasting police hearings regarding Mark Andaya.
Right,
exactly. One is going to garner you a lot less favor with the powers that be than the other.
I have not done any kind of comprehensive analysis, but it does seem to me like the radically oriented or very conservatively oriented stations, it's possible to be right of the establishment.
Right.
And those are the ones that I think they get a disproportionate share of the busts.
Well, we actually saw, I believe, and I, once again, the name escapes me, but one of the fellows down in Florida, they raided him with a SWAT team, as I understood it.
Yeah, and he's a right-wing guy, not a left-wing guy.
Right, absolutely.
Ronnie Cobras, I think.
That was his name.
And the judge just threw it, well, he didn't throw the whole case out, but the FCC had come in and asked for 28 years imprisonment. And the judge just, laughed it off. And, I think she found Lonnie guilty and then gave him a suspended sentence or something like that. But at one point, the FCC was asking for 28 years in prison.
Oh, my God.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
You know, I grew up, 3 years of my childhood were spent in England in the 1950s, and I grew up listening to pirate radio, literally pirate radio, which were radio stations that were broadcasting off of ships outside the international waters of England. Radio Luxembourg was one of them, and that was the beginning of changing British broadcasting. Was the fact that people were just operating outside of the limits.
Let me remind the listeners that we're talking about micro radio, and we're talking with Kilu Niasha and Don Shellhart. You're listening to Community Supported Radio, KVMR-FM, Nevada City, Auburn, Sacramento, 89.5, 99.3, 103.7 on your FM radio dial, 937. And Kilu, can you let the listeners know what some of the programming they would hear if they tuned in to San Francisco Liberation Radio would be?
Well, they would hear some music. They would a variety of music. They would hear a lot of political information, comments on what's going on in the world, all over the world. They would be mostly from a what's considered a left perspective or viewpoint. They would hear a lot about prisoners and political prisoners. We've done a lot on the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. We've done a lot of work on exposing police brutality and murder. A lot of issues that are local, community issues around homelessness and housing, affordable housing. As many of you know, San Francisco has the least amount of affordable housing in the nation, as well as being the most expensive housing market in the nation. So that's a serious problem here. 163 people died on the streets of San Francisco, and we don't even have extreme weather. There are many, many issues, health issues, and various other community issues. Whatever comes up, we're there. We're ready to comment on it or to tape it or you know. And last night's program focused on the author Adam Hochschild wrote a book just published last year titled King Leopold's Ghost. He came to the Civic Center Library and gave a lecture, so I went and taped it and broadcast it, and it was excellent. He talks about the Belgian Holocaust in the Congo. So there are many, many issues that we cover that are certainly not covered by the mainstream media.
Don, what about micro radio in your area of the country?
Well, we have had a couple of radio stations that have voluntarily shut down after being asked to do so by the FCC. One case I think is particularly interesting. It's La Radio Nouvelle, I think, or something like that. Anyway, it means in Spanish the new radio music. I'm probably torturing the word. There was a Spanish-speaking station in New Haven until 1996. Then, as a result of a corporate acquisition, the new owner instituted a format change to, I think, Pop 40 or something. So New Haven was left without any Spanish-speaking station, and it's a city with about 20,000 Hispanics, not counting several thousand in the adjoining suburbs. So the fellow who used to run the display station, after things over for a while, started up a new Spanish station, and it was pirate, and it was quite popular, and the FCC shut it down, I guess, several months ago. You wouldn't believe the amount of support that guy has gotten. He's collected petitions with over 10,000 names on them to legislators from Connecticut. We also had a fellow who runs a black evangelical station in Hartford, and that was shut down as well. And thousands of people have turned out for rallies opposing that.
All right. I lived in New Haven.
Oh!
Yeah.
It's about 20 miles from me.
All right.
Go ahead, Kilo.
I just wanted to say, before we run out of time, that it is very important for people to register their public comments in support of micro radio, because the period for public comment will be over on June 1st. People are being encouraged to write to the FCC, to the Congress, to your congresspeople and senators, and write letters. Email is not as effective as letters are. And there are some websites available that people can find out more about, the various proposals. And I'd also like to note that the National Lawyers Guild's the Committee on Democratic Communications, I believe.
Yes.
Has made comments registering its opposition to the FCC proposal. It's opposed to commercial stations being commercial micro radio stations, the second class status, the secondary status, and also it's in favor of a larger ban, increasing the spectrum. So I encourage people, all listeners, that if you really want to see some alternative media and you're tired of the same old, register your discontent with the mainstream media and your support of micro radio as quickly as you can.
What about AM radio?
Well, Amherst is proposing that the lowest tier, LP10, should be open to both AM and FM. And that's because we think in that size range there are going to be a lot of part-time, time-sharing operations, and AM is particularly suitable for that.
One of the things that came to my attention several months ago is that there were actually some small AM, what would be considered micro power stations, that were actually being used for advertising for a car dealership somewhere. And, you know, the FCC, perhaps at the instigation of San Francisco Liberation Radio, was informed about this continuous loop of, you know, pull into my car lot AM radio micro power. The FCC apparently had no problem with that, but yet has embarked on this campaign of shutting down micropower FM stations, in particular those that one might find politically objectionable. I mean, there seems to be a real double standard here.
Well, I think that's true. I do think Chairman Kennard and a couple of the other newcomers are trying to move the commission in a new direction, but I think they're having some trouble. And I also think, you know, just personally, they're looking for incremental change. They're not looking for something revolutionary.
Is the head of the FCC as a presidential appointment?
Yes. Basically, I think what you're seeing in the FCC is that the Clinton administration is appoints people who are at least a little bit more open to change than the carryovers.
One of the micropower stations that seems to me to be the most successful, if you will, in the United States is Kind Radio in San Marcos, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are San Marcos's radio station. I mean, they seem to have fulfilled and gotten the support of that community. Can we talk a little bit about Micro Kind? Kilo, do you have any thoughts about what they've done down there?
You know, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with it.
I'm a little bit. I know they've gotten so respectable there that when the FCC tried to shut them down, the city council passed a resolution supporting them, and the mayor got on the air. They've had candidates for governor and candidates for Senate, incumbents and challengers alike, on the air. It's apparently they are truly regarded as a fully bona fide news source.
Oh, absolutely. I was down in San Marcos a year or so ago, and that truly is the case. I mean, they really are that community's radio station, and I don't think the FCC or the NAB or anyone else is going to come in there and dislodge them. At least I sure hope not.
Well, how many watts are they broadcasting?
Oh, gosh,
you know?
I don't know, but they cover a fair amount of ground because of the terrain down there.
Well,
but
they must be 100 watts.
Oh, I would think that they're probably that, you know, but I really couldn't say for sure.
I seem to remember the figure 25 miles, probably 25 square miles, but it might have been 25 miles in each direction.
Right, it's real possible. We're talking with Kilo Nyasha, who's joining us from the Bay Area, who is with San Francisco Liberation Radio, and Don Shellard, who's joining us from way back east in Connecticut with the Amherst Alliance. I'd like to ask you both a question. It seems to me that some people have advocated that, regardless of what the FCC is doing, that micropower people should just basically say, you know, we don't care about that. We're going to set up and operate radio stations whether they like it or not. I'd like to get both of your thoughts on that. I mean, on one level, when you look at kind of a civil disobedience model, of course, the more people who do it, the harder it is for the government to single them out and shut them down. Of course, you know, there are other, you know, problems and possibilities with that. Kilo, can I get your thoughts on that? And also, Don, what do you think about that strategy and perspective that some people at least seem to be advocating?
I guess I'm not real clear. Are you saying that regardless as to what the FCC is doing, that you think the micro radio or movement, the pirate radio movement would continue?
I guess what I'm saying is it seems to me that there are some people within, if we can label it as such, the micro radio community, some people seem to be saying, you know, let's work within the system as dictated and, you know, by the FCC, you know, with, of course, input or whatever. And that there are other people who are saying, you know, I mean, frankly, to hell with the FCC, and we're going to do it regardless of what they do. And, you know, that the whole idea is to just keep putting more and more stations on the air as a way of sort of, I guess, on some level, trying to break the back of the control that the FCC has. Does that make sense?
Yes, I guess. I guess I'm one of the people who, unless the FCC changes, I would prefer to work outside of the FCC.
Right.
You know? I mean, somebody was joking recently. I forget who. I think it was Michael Parenti, who is just such a terrific speaker and has such a great sense of humor. And he cited the number of words in the English language. And it was an astronomical number. And then he said, and then he mentioned that the seven words. And I'm not a comedian, so I can't, you know, relate it as humorously as he
right.
did. But you know, he carried on about, you know, what are these seven words? You know, that are so terrible, so horrible. But you know, the FCC's the seven words don't bother me that much because I don't care about saying, you know, a cuss word on the air. But what I do care about is the fact that we should really be able to advocate. I don't see why we shouldn't be able to advocate. That's part of being free speech. I mean, we're not going to advocate that, you know, anything totally outrageous, but to be able to advocate for events and actions and you know, demonstrations and protests, I think should be very much a part of our First Amendment right.
I think the only unfortunate part about that is, as far as the powers that be are concerned, anything that they see as outside of their interest, they consider to be outrageous. So therefore, you know, they can't let that happen. Don, can you talk a little bit to the whole issue of working within or without the system? And then also let me then ask you both to make a final statement as we work our way out of here.
Okay, if I can just defer a direct answer for a minute, I wanted to follow up on the reference to writing the FCC. I have the address handy, and if you give me a second, I'd like to give it to your listeners over the air.
You bet. Let me give them just a second to grab a pen and a pencil. Go ahead. Get that pen. Get that pencil.
Okay, you address it, Secretary, then Federal Communications Commission. And the next line, which is the name of the building, the next line is the Portals, P-O-R-T-A-L-S. That's at 445 12th Street, Southwest, in Washington, D.C. And the zip is 20554. And if you lose the address, just call Washington, D.C. information, area code 202, and ask for the FCC switchboard, and they'll give it to you.
Let me ask you now, perhaps, Don, to make a final statement to our audience regarding micropower radio.
Okay. I never answered your question, so I just will say briefly, I don't favor ignoring the licensing process. I think there are advantages as well as costs to getting licensed, and I think it's worth trying to get licensed. But then, more broadly, I guess I'd just like everybody to consider the broader context in which this is occurring. You know, we've got half a dozen mega corporations dominating American commercial radio, but we've also got, according to one report, six global mega corporations, controlling half of the publishing activity in the world. And you've got TV station networks in the process of devouring their affiliates and turning the affiliates into satellite stations, and so on. And you start looking at the total trend in communication, and it becomes very clear that micro radio and the Internet are about the only places where ideas and information are being exchanged outside the control of a really incredibly small handful of corporations. So I really think our fight is really part of a fight of a battle to defend democracy, not just free up radio, but really to try to preserve free speech in the country.
Keelu, and your final thoughts, please.
That's going to be a hard act to follow.
You can do it.
I'm very much in agreement with almost everything he said. I'm pretty much a person of who doesn't agree with working within this system across the board. And so it's difficult for me to work within this system, the FCC's system as well. However, the benefit of being licensed would be to have press credentials, which also allow you to, much more freedom as a journalist. You know, you have entry, you know, that you don't otherwise have. So for that reason, I would like to be licensed to be legitimized as a journalist, to be able to do investigative reporting and so forth. However, so I guess I'm somewhat ambivalent. On the other hand, I really enjoy tremendously the freedom I have as a programmer without the FCC rules and regs. So, and I also wanted to just, as part of my last statement, the corporations, the handful of corporations that your other guest just mentioned that control the media are European-dominated, and the airwaves, therefore, are European-dominated, and the African, Asian, and Latin American population in this country, which altogether probably comprise a majority now, are pretty much being left out. And I think that micro radio has given us an opportunity to have our voices heard. Because even some of the public radio, alternative radio stations are not allowing too many voices, diversified voices on the airwaves. So I think for that reason, we need to promote non-racism in this country to combat racism that has been rearing its ugly head all over the place, as you well know. So I think that that's an important aspect of micro radio. That it allows for not only free speech, and it allows for the free speech of African, Asian, and Latin Americans to be heard.
And that's going to have to be the last word this evening. Keelu Nyasha joining us from San Francisco Liberation Radio in the Bay Area, Hiller in California. Don Chellard of the Amherst Alliance. Thank you, Don, for staying up all the way into tomorrow. I appreciate that you were both on the show this evening and would like to invite you both to be with us again.
I'd love to do it.
Thank you
very
much,
Mike.
All right.
On a move.
Okay. Well, that's it for our program this evening, Paul.
Yes, I've done my monthly KVMR marathon.
Yes, you have.
7 a.m.
And let me take this opportunity to thank you because you really raised a lot of money for KVMR today.
Wasn't even thinking about doing that with the Kate Wolf recording. That was a lot of fun.
I know it. And what I hear is people were calling all the way up till the office closed this evening. So it was a really good album. It sounded really good.
Thanks, Mike.
That's it for this edition of the program. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. If you're interested in copies of this or other Full Logic Reverse programs, you can contact us via email at flr@jps.net or by telephone at area code 530-265-9462. Full Logic Reverse is produced at FLR Studios in Nevada City, California, USA. Our music is by Rick Payne. We hope you'll join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.